Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago sports talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
The Cubs, God bless them, went out and got themselves a player that will hopefully change their fortunes, right? This is a guy that you can line up in the rotation and feel good about that spot. This is a big upgrade to the pitching staff. When you take him and you take, hopefully, a guy that will have a revival and you add it to what you have already, you start feeling better about the day-in, day-out workings of the Cubs. You could still use another superstar, don't get me wrong, but this is a move that sort of makes you happy about everything they're doing in the offseason.
This makes a statement. This reflects who they are. We asked them to show us who they are. And they went out before the deadline for the CBA expiring, and they showed us what they want to be, which is a contender next year. Not for the World Series necessarily, but when Jed Hoyer talks about being competitive in 2022, it was just empty talk and rhetoric until you do something of substance. And last night, signing Marcus Stroman is something of substance. This is somebody that's going to take the ball every fifth day. Durable, likable, fascinating pitcher. Great addition to the north side. We'll talk about where he fits in the rotation. But yes, Mully, we were challenging the Cubs, kind of wondering and waiting, what are they going to do? Are they going to do anything? This is big and bold, and I like it.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall, taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It is a glorious Friday in the fine city of Chicago. Bulls win.
Oh, yeah.
Bulls cover.
What a night. Yeah. Happy Friday, Mully. We made it to Friday morning. We made it through this week. What a week it has been.
Can I tell you what made me laugh yesterday?
Yesterday or last night?
Before
we get to the games?
Well, before we get to
Chuckle.
The game.
Okay.
The game. I had to have a laugh to myself that Billy Donovan was named the Eastern Conference Coach of the Month. I mean, I thought we had named him Coach of the Year.
We had done that.
No one sent the memo to the NBA.
Our show had declared that the NBA has not gotten the memo yet, but that was a nice award for him.
But we've already awarded it. Yes.
Yeah, well, they're going to go through the motions and play the games anyway.
They shouldn't bother.
And last night was an exciting victory. They almost blew it. I was flipping between the Blackhawks and the Bulls because I like watching Ovechkin, and the Hawks were playing the Caps in Washington, D.C. And they went in a shootout after Fleury stops Ovechkin, and then the Bulls end up holding on in the end, and that was a dramatic Thursday night of watching the Hawks and the Bulls. And the Bulls almost blew it, though.
Well, the Bulls game was over in the first quarter, and no one told the Knicks, apparently.
Knicks didn't stop, but I felt like that was, you know, after even at halftime, you're like, okay, this seems like it's comfortably in hand. Really have to blow it if they're going to make this close, right. And then they almost did.
Almost. But look, the third quarter was the problem. Well, here's the problem in the game. They won the first quarter by 18 points, okay? They were tied in the second quarter, if you just talk about the score of that quarter. And then the third quarter, they lost by 12 points.
And a lot of math there.
And then they lost the fourth quarter. I'm just saying.
All I remember about this one is that
They won the first quarter so dominantly.
Yeah, they had a cushion.
They won the game.
They had a cushion. Alex Caruso with the big steal down the stretch. Big possession for the Knicks. They turn it over. And DeRozan was clutch. And the Bulls did what they needed to do again on the road. Big win in New York.
But it was over early. It's just, again, apparently the memo didn't get out. Apparently they don't. The NBA doesn't know that they have to keep awarding Billy Donovan Coach of the Month. We've already determined that.
They go to Brooklyn, the Nets. That's going to be another fun night. And tomorrow night, that's going to be a real marquee matchup. Bulls don't feel like, sometimes when you have these kind of matchups, you're like, you dread them almost. You're like, okay, they're going to get reminded of where they are and the pecking order and all these things. I'm looking forward to it.
I am too.
I'm looking forward to it more than than anything, and I think that tells you
more than anything.
Well, more than before.
More than anything.
Not more than anything.
And what's awesome about more than anything is it like it encompasses your entire life. Maybe you even meant it as the sporting weekend. And even then, there's just too many big games going on.
No, I don't think I'd say that over the sporting weekend. No, I wouldn't go that far.
But it's going head-to-head, David, with Michigan-Iowa. So it really is interesting that I'm like thinking about my Saturday night, and I'm thinking like, where will my TV have more minutes dedicated? Now, the football game will obviously be longer because college football is like a 4-hour game.
You can do both,
right? But like really, like how like, will my eyes spend more time Saturday night on Bulls, Nets, or Michigan, Iowa?
I think it depends on the game. And when I said more than anything, I think it meant in the context of the Bulls season. You know, like this is a good stretch. But does anybody really just watch one event anymore, though?
You know, I just had a horrible last weekend due to late night watching of the Iron Bowl. Right. I don't know if I mentioned it on the air. I think I did. The fact that I went and doubled back and watched Alabama against Auburn.
And you ran out of tape.
And I ran out of tape before they had tied the game. As they were coming down, it was getting down to, are they going to tie the game? And then I immediately check, and they won in, count them, 4 overtimes, which, thank God, I didn't continue to tape because it was time to go to bed. But sometimes a little late-night sports watching.
Sure.
So now I think more so in Michigan, Iowa, than with the Bulls, I've got to make sure that I'm taping
the program following. You would think with all the technology.
This drives you nuts, and I agree with you.
It's so
and you
wild.
Want to make money? Here's how you do it.
My father complains about the same thing. He DVRs, tapes, whatever way you want to say it.
I see.
A lot of sporting events. Record. And when they go long, all of a sudden, you know, it gets cut off. It's you got to tape the ABC 7 10:30 news that's following the game. You got to tape
your
the next
smart,
event.
Yeah. Shouldn't your – and you know what? In a 4 overtime game, you got to tape a couple in case they're half-hour shows. So shouldn't you, if you just think about it, shouldn't you have the technology with your, and I'm using air quotes, smart TV that, this guy wants to see this sporting event. Let's record it until the event is over.
I don't know. Probably so. I like it live. I don't mind flipping around. I think it's a challenge. It's fun. Like last night, I was going back and forth between the Bulls and the Hawks, and you're trying to time it so you don't miss a key possession, and you have the backup tape or DVR, however you want it, in case you miss something, you could always go back. There's a rhyme and reason to it.
There's a kid out there that's playing video games and listening to this show right now that's like super techie, right? Some coder out there, and he is working now on this project, and he's going to make a ton of money.
Here's another thing you can do.
And maybe he'll give us a tip because we nudged him.
This is what I often do. I tweeted out last night about the Thursday night drama, and somebody was like, why don't you have multiple televisions in your room? Why don't you have like a setup? You know, not everybody's got like 6 screens in front of them, but you can watch something on your phone or your computer, which is the same as a television screen, essentially. and watch the television at the same time. So you can watch multiple games at the same time. So if you wanted to watch two games tomorrow night, you could theoretically get your television screen on your computer, on your laptop, or your phone, but your laptop is well bigger screen.
We've known each other a long time. I mean, do you think I could focus on two different things going on at the same time?
I meant the generic you.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I need to just kind of, I need to
I know.
delve into what I'm doing.
I'm not suggesting that you, I would not want you to try to do that, in real time.
Now, I grew up with a three TV setup. My father and I were that into sports. And I'm talking back when we were talking
three?
Like the tube TVs.
Have you ever been to Graceland?
Father.
Elvis had three TVs.
Please turn on the Masters.
This was kind of Sanford and Son-ish.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking three tube TVs. My dad actually made a case. He's very handy, very good with his hands. He actually made a case that we put like two 27-inch TVs that probably weighed 150 pounds apiece in a wooden case stacked on top of each other, and then had the big screen sitting on the floor. And then when I moved from his house to my house, I took that case so that I could have the three TV set up. But then, you know, as you have kids and life, and your wife doesn't like, even though she never steps foot in the basement, unless, you know, to go get toilet paper or something, you know, she doesn't like the three TV setup in the basement. So, but now that
you
the
keep
TVs
the toilet paper by
pounds,
your television sets,
now the TVs weigh five storage. Pounds, I don't have a three TV setup. But I used to have a three TV setup. But and I had college football, like bowl, when the bowl games were the bowl games on January 1st, I would add like a fourth and a fifth TV on a TV tray with antennas, because there'd be like five good bowl games going on as you were waiting for the Fiesta Bowl to start.
Sound up or sound down?
Only one sound on. Only one sound on.
How would you decide which sound?
It depended on how much money I had on which game.
Okay. So there was an investment here. There were gambling reasons that you were...
Well, gambling, my job, my passion, yeah, all of it.
Elvis found out that Richard Nixon had the three TV set up in the White House, so he put it in Graceland. And it's hysterical because... You know, now you wonder what it would be like. It would be like something out of a movie with just banks of televisions and all. But at the time, having three different televisions going apparently belonged in Graceland.
How about picture in picture?
And Dustin's basement.
What do you think about picture in picture?
Oh, I can't handle that at
all.
Yeah. Does that still exist, actually?
I think
I haven't seen it in a while.
I haven't seen it in a while.
I remember going to your point. When we in this setup that we had, we got rid of one big screen, got another big, and we got one with picture in picture. But they warned us when we got it that you couldn't leave it on too long, or you had to move it around the screen because it could burn a hole and you'd have like a permanent mark.
Really?
If you left
awesome.
If you left it like, let's just say, in the top right hand corner all the time, like over time it would create a mark on your screen. So you could actually move it to wherever you wanted on the picture, but they told you, like, you know, don't, after an hour you should shut it down for a little bit and put, but that's how like the technology was. So it was great, but it still had flaws.
I am old enough to remember in 1994 when the World Cup, the opening game of the World Cup, was here in Chicago, the 1994 World Cup, which was kind of a big deal.
It was a huge deal.
And unfortunately, that was the night that OJ went on his drive. Do you remember this?
Where June 12th, I think it was.
So-ish. So I am at Soldier Field, cover the game, get all the stuff I need, and I go over to the Sun-Times building to file my story. I'm going to finish writing everything, and it was a big deal. But there is a guy that works on the desk who's from New York, and he's like camped out in front of the TV watching the Knicks. And the Knicks game, he's camped out because they put it in a little box in the corner of the television while they covered OJ's drive.
Yeah, and the Knicks fans were very unhappy
about
that.
Well, this guy was going crazy.
Yeah, NBA fans really didn't like that.
And I'm sitting here, and I'm trying to pound out my story and get done, because they had a huge party at Navy Pier where Liza Minnelli performed. And my then-girlfriend is kind of hovering over me like, hey, we got to get going. Like, I'm on a deadline created by Liza Minnelli. More than an actual
physical. A lot of different avenues you could go down with this story.
Yeah.
A lot of different avenues we could go.
I know. That happened.
How about this one? A 312 texter. When the White Sox won the World Series, I was on my honeymoon in Mexico. My dad used a DVD recorder to record all the World Series games for me, and I missed the end of every single game. Technology is seriously lagging. But another texter says that on Xfinity, when you set up the DVR on Xfinity to record a sporting event,
you can tell it to...
they ask, well, they're saying that it asks you, do you want to extend the time?
Yes. I know. I've done that. But and you can't extend the
AT&T,
time.
AT&T, it does not. You
also,
do that.
815 texter, I've had a 65-inch Mitsubishi for 15 years. The picture-in-picture is perfect.
And I responded to that guy, we also had a Mitsubishi 65-inch.
It's hysterical. It's just
and now
so
you can get
fun.
Like a 70-inch at Walmart for $300. You know,
again,
it's crazy.
This is not asking much of technology. Just you know, intuitively, if you're a smart TV, just keep recording when a sporting event ends.
Makes sense.
That's how this whole
thing
started.
Yeah, it is how it started. Yes. And I think I made it sound like I'm going to be camped out in front of the TV tomorrow night. More than anything, I want to watch the Bulls and the Nets. And I do want to watch that, but I know myself, if I am in front of a television tomorrow night...
and there's a close football game.
I'm going to watch the college football game.
Of course
you are. I just know that that's going to be the way that I lean, and I will want to, out of duty, flip to the NBA game and commercials, but I'll be flipping around.
Here's the thing, and this is the important
factor.
I'll
wait till the fourth quarter, too.
We are not on the air on a Sunday morning, right?
We're not?
Well, I'm on the air with the Bears game, but that's strictly Bears-related.
Right. Yeah.
So the point is that you can stay up late and you can watch one thing after the other, just record it. I like watching a sporting event without knowing the result. And I've been doing that my entire adult life. And I will purposely attempt to avoid some of the results of the West Coast NBA games because I like to go home and watch them. When I'm done here.
I don't do that. I don't worry about that.
I like that.
I like to know who wins and then watch how they did it.
See, I
or who loses.
I like it to unfold in front of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, I have a hard time watching it.
If you know what the outcome?
If I know what the outcome is, I have a hard time watching it.
I agree.
Watch the highlights online.
Yeah, I agree.
But I can't sit there for 3 hours.
Don't you want to know how it happened? And why?
Do you read the end of a book?
Yes. You do? I'm terrible that way. And it's just very strange. And maybe it says more about me than I care to dive into. If I'm reading, when I read a newspaper story, I start at the end and I go backward.
Boy, that's some bad writing you're going to run into, sadly.
I will start at the end. Like, you read the headline, I'll see how it ends, like a column or, you know, a game story or talking about sports specifically now. Yeah. And then I'll go to the lead and figure out how they got to the point they got. So I don't mind knowing the end.
That's a huge ask. I know a ton of sports writers that have no logical progression to their stories or columns.
Did you say most?
I said I know a lot.
Oh, okay.
And I think I'm always interested in, like, how are you hooking me into this?
Yeah, well, I know.
And then are you getting me back there?
I assume that's what they should try to do every time. So I want to see how they ended it and then figure out how they got me there.
Yeah,
I've done that forever. I don't know why. And with a book, I will try to read the last, like,
so you want,
I'll
like,
peek.
You, like, if you're reading Hercule Poirot and you're, you know, I don't know, 10 years old, you're reading an Agatha Christie mystery.
I'm not really big on suspense. I don't like surprises.
You start at the end. So you want to know, that's the killer.
I kind of do.
I mean.
Isn't that odd?
Oh, they were all involved.
My wife thinks it's the weirdest thing in the world.
Yeah,
because
that's really odd.
Sort of backward.
Yeah,
that way. I can't explain it. I've always done it.
You have plot dyslexia.
I do. That's a good way to put it. Now I have a good new way to explain it to someone.
That's good. That's really good.
If I ever want to bore anybody else but talking about how I read the paper.
All right, we're going to talk sports. We're going to get the sports.
Bears.
We'll start with the 5 at 5. We'll hit all the major stories of the day. It's Molly and Haw on the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
Were you disappointed the Bulls were unable to put the Knicks away after building an early lead and had to hang on for a 119-115 victory? Did the Bulls get bored after building an 18-point lead in the first quarter? How odd was it that the Bulls won just one quarter in that game?
Yeah, that was super bizarre. You know, I thought the Bulls were playing great basketball. I mean, not good. They hit a level and they were really good. And that was tons of fun to watch. And I think what happened... You know, and it happens in the NBA all the time. I think when you get kind of a comfortable lead, maybe you let your guard down a little bit. I don't think they got bored. I think that Lonzo Ball missed, like, some three-pointers that were wide open. I think he missed four of them. I lost count. But it was like they would come down, they get him the ball, wide open three, and if that goes in, you're laughing, right? If you hit half of those... The game isn't close, but because you missed all of them, I think it was four, that ended up leaving a little bit of a mark. But, yeah, I thought they played great. I was really pleased that, you know, it feels like they're kind of back. I thought the Taj thing was awesome when he got thrown out because it was – and then there was a foul after that where D. Rose was scoring a bucket and Caruso got thrown to the floor, and that was a foul. And I actually thought Zach LaVine had gotten fouled on the play before that when he scored a bucket. So I think that it was awesome to watch the way they played.
When the Bulls play like that, you do get carried away. You let your imagination run wild a little bit, and you start to wonder, how good can this team be? Are they among the best in the East? And I know it's the Knicks, but it was on the road, and you know the Knicks are no slouch anymore, and when the Bulls have stretches like they had last night, you start to wonder how far this team can go and how great this season can be. And they have special stretches. There's no doubt about it. And then when you look at how they're doing it and they they did come through, and it was an oddity that they only won one of the quarters, and they had such a big lead, maybe they relaxed. But they get to the fourth quarter, and there's this building sense of confidence that you get in the fourth quarter because DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine. And those are two of the top three fourth quarter scorers in the NBA. You know somehow DeMar DeRozan is going to come through in the clutch, whether it's a mid-range game, getting to the line, or hitting the big shot. He is going to get it done. Zach LaVine is doing his thing as well. And they get Vooch involved as well, the big three. It's a fun team to watch. And yeah. Caruso, with the intangible steal down the stretch, that was huge. So there was this sense that, yeah, it's odd to look at the, you know, they only won one quarter. They blew a big lead. But there was never that sense maybe that it was going to get away from them because they have earned the benefit of the doubt.
This will sound crazy. It won't be the first time on this segment. But I've never been more entertained by seeing your team get out to a great lead, blow the lead, and then get it back. Like, it felt like a playoff game. It seemed to me like you could see that being a five-game or a seven-game playoff series when we get to the postseason. The Bulls, then the Knicks, I mean. I think these two teams right now match up really well with each other. And the Knicks, the Bulls have now taken, what, two of the first three in the head-to-head matchups. That's what you want to see.
And
right?
They're 500 now, Dustin. They fell to, I believe, 11-11, right?
Yeah.
They're struggling.
But, you know, what's interesting is you're so right. It's Tibbs. It's that, you know, they're never going to really, they're going to break their rear. You know,
but to your point,
I really like
seeing
it.
Seeing Todd, I was actually on the radio at this point, coming back from the dump on the hump, Glenbard West. Go York freshman girls beat the Hilltoppers
the
last night.
Dump on the hump.
The dump on the hump. That's what we call Glenbard West. It's very hilly in that part of Glen Ellen. Anyway, it was great. I mean, Chuck and Bill were fantastic talking about the guy getting thrown out of the game, as you mentioned, to start this question, Molly. It was just a great broadcast. So hearing that here on the Score, then getting home and watching it on TV, it was just a very fun game. And you would think you'd be, you know, wanting to throw things at the television set after you blow a lead like that. But it was actually kind of fun to see them blow the lead and then get it back. And then the last 8 minutes of the fourth quarter were spectacular. If you have it on your DVR, go back and watch it.
Also, go to your Twitter machine and see Chuck dance.
Yes, that's Chuck worth Dance, it. That's worth it too, yes.
That's why I'm answering these questions right now, because I respect and understand where y'all are coming from your side.
Does the fact that Andy Dalton has taken all the first team reps both Wednesday and Thursday indicate to you that he will start against Arizona at Soldier Field on Sunday? Should Justin Fields serve as his backup or rest his sore ribs? If he can't prepare to start, should he prepare to play?
Andy Dalton starting. I don't know how you could have him take first team reps for two straight days, and if Justin Fields somehow is at full capacity today or is resting for Sunday, you don't want to put a rookie quarterback in to start against the NFC's best team with that pass rush unless he's had a full week to prepare. That's just football lunacy that would defy logic. So I think you just have to accept reality, and the reality is, for whatever reason, they want Justin Fields out there. Maybe it's for gamesmanship or a decoy or to give the Cardinals something else to think about. Sure, let them think about whatever. But I would err on the side of caution. I've been saying it all week and I haven't changed now. If Justin Fields hasn't been in a position to prepare adequately for this challenge, then let Andy Dalton take all the snaps on Sunday, make Nick Foles the backup, and remove Justin Fields from harm's way. The risk isn't worth the potential reward, and I just don't know that it makes sense for a guy who had cracked ribs a week ago, didn't suddenly they become 100% now. He's a tough kid, and he's going to be a tough quarterback, and he's going to be your future. But in the present, play the veteran, and don't take any unnecessary risks.
Without a doubt, they are preparing Andy Dalton to be the starter this weekend. No question about it. The kid's been limited. Andy Dalton's had all the first-team reps. I agree with what you're saying. I'm kind of torn at the idea that, you know, Justin Fields coming off the bench and winning a game type of thing. That would be spectacular. But I don't think that's going to happen. I don't feel real good about the team the Bears are rolling out, given all the injuries and all the people that haven't been able to practice. So I think that you want him to be your starter, and you want him to feel like he's your starter, and you don't want to be turning him into kind of your prep quarterback. I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm with you, David. You could. I just don't think he's prepared to play right now.
Well, also,
and I don't think they should play him if he can't play.
You know, you say about coming off the bench to win the game, and in that scenario, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah,
but what about the other side? What if they're down 14, Dalton gets hurt, and your backup, only active backup, is Justin Fields, well, so now you're putting him in a game.
Yeah, you should use him as your starter, and if he's not your starter, you should stay away from him. Yes,
yeah.
That's the conclusion. Fair enough.
Now, does George call Matt? Does he text Matt? Or does he actually walk out onto the practice field or go into McBubble and tell him that the starting quarterback at Sunday is going to be Justin Fields, because that's what my mom and I want to have happen?
You better call Jay Glazer, fella.
Do you understand, Matt? What time does that happen?
Get on the horn with Jay.
You think that George would get involved to say that to start him or to sit him?
I'm trying.
I know you're being facetious.
I'm being facetious.
But.
And while I wasn't at Halas Hall, obviously I haven't been there in a long, long time.
I think they moved since you were there.
No, actually, I was at the last time I was there is when Dave McGinnis drove out, and I was on the phone, maybe with you, up at Sporting News Radio, stringing that event, and I said, guys, I think something's up. They went to me for a live report, not knowing what was going on other than we were expecting the Bears to name Dave McGinnis.
Right.
I said, and I'm outside. Dave McGinnis is in the passenger. I said, something's going on. I got to get back inside because this is not right. So that's the last time I was up at Halas Hall.
You should go back up there, man. They wouldn't let you in, but it's beautiful.
Your picture is like on the security gate.
Yeah.
It's but really they now have cool. like a frame.
They have like a security hut. It's not just a guy in a little box. I mean, they got a much bigger deal going on.
It's like there's a
picture.
I liked it a lot better
when Coach Wannstedt, when I did was there for one whole season, Coach Wannstedt would be walking around with a styrofoam bowl of salad checking in on
he
the
would,
media people.
He would walk down.
Yeah, what's up, gang?
Hey, what are you guys doing? Dave was the greatest.
Great,
yeah, he would. He would check in.
But to answer the question specifically, yes, Andy Dalton should start. But I would leave Justin Fields in the air quote backup role. You can Matt Nagy loves Wildcat. Right, they run too much damn Wildcat as it is.
That makes no sense, Dustin.
Well,
can I tell you?
Why would you put a quarterback in a running back position who has cracked ribs?
God forbid Dalton went down and you didn't want to go to Fields.
It would be David Montgomery.
Just go to David Montgomery and run Wildcat the rest of the game. If you're down 30-3 in the third quarter and Andy Dalton goes down, Nick Foles, no Arch Manning, nobody's leading the Bears back at that point. Okay, they're done.
Can I tell you,
and run Wildcat the rest of the game. Justin Fields.
Can I tell you a wandering Dave story?
Absolutely.
From back in the day, this is a famous story, David. You probably heard this. So Dave comes down and he wanders into the press room, and it just so happened, and this was pretty late, and there's only about nine of us left, and it just so happened that was the day they had cut Shane Matthews. And so Moon, feeling seriously empathetic for Shane Matthews, he says, Dave, how did Shane take it? How tough was that with Shane? And Dave, like, who was kind of enjoying his wandering salad, he kind of like was very surprised by the question, and he responded. He said, Shane knows. Shane knows. And he just left and went back upstairs. And we sat there, and no one kind of said anything. And then I said, Shane knows what? Like, that he's awful? That he deserves to be cut? We left. I mean, it was so horrible because the guy got cut and everything. But Dave's reaction was one of huge surprise and then kind of like, Shane knows.
I respect that. I respect the question.
The Bears defense will likely remain beaten up and shorthanded on Sunday, and Arizona is getting closer to full strength. We've deemed this a must-win game. Are you taking the Bears, and what is your predicted score, please?
I am not taking the Bears, okay? And I'm kind of leaning toward I'm trying to be fair to the Bears here. So I'll go 27-17. I'll say it's like a 10-point Arizona win.
Yeah, I filed my prediction in exactly that. It's 27-17.
You filed my prediction?
I filed your prediction, yeah, which it just happened to be mine when I sent it to Cody yesterday.
Wow, that's pretty good.
For our website. Look, I don't consider this a must-win for the Bears. I don't think that I believe that at all, because what's the alternative? Must-win or else? I don't know what the or else is, and I don't think they're in any position to win this game. I don't think it's realistic to even think that they have a chance.
Well, they're not going to have a winning season, I think.
Yeah, 4-8 is what they're staring at. Kyler Murray coming back for the first time, you know, in a very long time. He hasn't played since October 28th. DeAndre Hopkins could be back as well. That's a bad combination. The Bears don't match up well. This is even though Arizona's traveling across the country, playing it, what amounts to Sunday morning in Arizona, in what could be very chilly conditions by their standards, they're still...
Are you still giving weather reports?
Much better football team.
There's going to be snow and a form of earthquake and what else?
No snow. Uh-huh. Maybe rain. I think around 30-ish, 40-ish.
Well, that could maybe we should reconsider.
Let's not even waste our time with that whole bear weather BS.
Thank you, Brad. Brad will be here at 7 o'clock for us. Do we get Tom Skilling on? Do we get Skilling
well,
on?
Well, apparently it's Brent Miller that's under
Brent
the gun.
Miller. Yeah, I like Brent.
What time? You want to book Brent at 7:20?
I don't know him to call him, but I'm sure he's up.
I could get my guy Bill Snyder on.
A lot of good choices in Chicago.
Yeah, there's some great weather people.
30 to 12 Cardinals. 30-12
wow,
Cardinals.
How do you get into 12? 4 field goals?
Yep.
Not even a touchdown.
Or a missed extra point.
17 is
two,
kind,
so 12,
isn't it? Yeah. 17 is kind. It's being kind to the Bears. Here's the real problem. No Akeem, right? He hasn't practiced. No Roquan. You got the running quarterback. You got kind of Robert Quinn now.
Is
right?
Danny Trevathan going to be out?
Those are defensive issues.
A lot of Danny T.
He's done.
He's out, right?
Danny Trevathan's gone.
Gone for the year.
He's out for the year.
What are you doing at middle linebacker?
He's not playing for the Bears yet.
Christian Jones.
It's going to be a bad day, though.
Well, it's going to be a good coin flip.
Christian Jones. Yeah, you're not going to see Danny Trevathan again play for the Bears, I would think.
Right.
And offensively, you're going to see a lot of things that we've seen before, and that's
Jimmy
short
Graham
passes. I don't know Jimmy Graham if he's. He had yesterday off, so I guess he's on schedule to play in the red zone on Sunday.
He was off, so he must be playing.
That's a great question.
Univision reported that Carlos Correa contacted his pal and fellow Puerto Rican Javier Baez about his experience playing for the Cubs, suggesting that Correa was doing his due diligence for whatever free agency resumes. What should a Cubs fan interpret from that?
Well, I think it's going to be a cold winter unless you cling to something like that, because there's not going to be a whole lot of news as it appears because of the lockout, because of the lack of negotiation. So this was something that you can't rule out. You just can't rule out. You know, we heard Gordon talk about the Cubs, why it makes sense to if they have to invest over $300 million in a 10-year contract for Carlos Correa. If there is one player out there that still would justify that kind of investment, it's him. It's at a position you need. You just signed a ground ball pitcher in Marcus Stroman. You need somebody to gobble up those ground balls at shortstop that has a track record of being able to do that. I don't think your shortstop on opening day is going to be Nico Horner. Carlos Correa asking Javi Baez what it's like at Wrigley Field is a good sign. I don't think you want to overstate it necessarily, but what else are you going to, you know, cling to if you're a Cub fan? It's down to the Cubs, it seems, and the Yankees. That's the scuttlebutt on social media. So, hey, lean into it, Cubs fans. What else is there?
Well, there's the Dodgers, there's Atlanta. There's been a lot of teams actually mentioned with Correa, and I don't think it's down to anything given the fact that there's no negotiation going on, right? I don't know. It sounds to me like the setup for a joke. So Carlos Correa turns to Javi Baez, and he asks him. It just sounds like you're starting a joke, and there's no funny punchline. You know, there's no onion headline that makes that one amusing. I hope to God they get Correa, because he would solve a lot of the issues. He really would. And he would really tell you. You know, in a way, is it possible that Marcus Stroman – kind of settled for a contract before the deadline and the Cubs were heady enough to take care of that? Or is it Stroman wants to be in Chicago and wants to be part of the next great Cubs team? It, when you look at the contract, it doesn't sing that, right? So it's just kind of, it's just a little, I think we're still wanting to know if they're in or they're waiting. And if they come wading in with that kind of an offer, I think it's a different tenure to, a tenor to everything we talk about with the Cubs. And I don't know that the Marcus Stroman thing is complete. We are in, we can rebuild after talking to Gordon and talking about that contract. That'd be an unbelievable piece to be able to move. And there's no trade language in the new deal. So that's huge. But I hope they cough up and give Carlos Correa whatever he wants. And ideally you'd get this bloody lockout over with first.
I'm not meaning to argue this, but isn't it amazing that we're saying like 2 years, $50 million before an opt out? Yeah, it's just a contract. Yeah, it's all right. It's not a big deal. Like, it's crazy. Like that, it just comes off as like $25 million a year. And we're like, it's a tradable contract. You know, maybe this is really smart by the Cubs. Maybe this is the piece that brings them like a boatload of great prospects for the next Cubs championship.
Is that not what Gordon implied?
Absolutely. But I didn't, my mind never went there until he said it. And then until you just brought it back up and it brought me back there again. Now, the problem with going to Baez for advice is that Baez, Rizzo, and Bryant, one thing that you heard from all three of them, and David, you're going to know probably who this is, or Molly, you might have a guess too. Like, they said that there's a common denominator in Chicago with the Cubs that they don't like. And is that common denominator still there? And who is that common denominator? So the point is that $300+ million will solve everything. But are you, if the Cubs give him $300 million.
They got to give him like $350.
That was Rizzo, though. That was Rizzo's comment, wasn't
yeah.
it?
But I think they all felt that way.
Maybe. I would not want Anthony Rizzo to speak on my behalf if I'm Javi Baez necessarily. I think those are very different negotiations and very different experiences.
I also think that he was implying the common denominator wasn't a person. It was lower offers than they were expecting.
Gotcha. Which might have been a person, which might have been Theo.
Well, it might have been.
Might have been Theo. It could have been the boss, though, who's making a budget.
Or like, Tom Ricketts.
Or Ricketts, right? Yep. We don't know. I'm just like, is that – so my point is, if it was Theo, well, that common denominator has now left the building. If it's not – if it's Ricketts, he's obviously still there.
My sense was the interpretation of that comment was that the Cubs are not going to break the bank for any one player.
That's my interpretation.
Oh, boy, good question.
Could you please name the winners of the Big Ten, Big 12, and SEC championship games and who will be in the Final Four when the dust settles?
Boy, I would love to come up with a methodology here where Notre Dame winds up in that Final Four and the new head coach can win a title that the old head coach couldn't win and left to try for. I think that Michigan, scenario, Bill Frieder leaving and Steve Fisher winning a title, that would be unbelievable. I think that's a lot easier done in basketball than it is in football. But I wonder how much they would rally around the troops kind of, thing. And they have been improved toward the end of the year. I think Georgia is going to win the SEC championship game. I think that there is a possibility that Baylor wins the Big 12. I think that is probably didn't Joe tell us that that's one of the hot things among the sharps? I kind of like that call, but I don't want to pick it, but I think that's a possibility. And I think that Georgia is going to beat Alabama. I got to tell you, Alabama, could win that game. Clearly, look ahead spot, even with Saban as their coach against Auburn. I don't know that I take that as kind of the end-all, be-all as to where Alabama's at. But I think Georgia's the better football team. So I think it's going to be Georgia number one, Michigan number two. I think that fill in the blanks then. I think that you're going to see Michigan win. and definitely Georgia, and then probably it'll be I don't know who have I forgotten? If Baylor can win, that would be awesome. But I'm guessing they're not going to win, and so I'm getting rid of Alabama. But that's it.
I think that this is lined up pretty well, and in the rhetoric about Notre Dame by Gary Barta, that's actually things have changed since he said that.
Right.
I think that when he talked about factoring in Brian Kelly's absence into the potential of penalizing those players as we pounced on, right now, if you're making an objective decision, you're looking at Notre Dame, and you're wondering about how they might get a bounce from Brian Kelly leaving and Marcus Freeman being appointed and getting that kind of emotional, inspirational bounce from having an interim, not an interim coach, a guy who's taking over a team that's motivated to win and to play better than they have maybe shown. I think Michigan's going to beat Iowa. They're going to win the Big Ten. They're in. I think Georgia's going to beat Alabama. They're going to be solidified at number one. They're in. I think Baylor's going to beat Oklahoma State and knock Oklahoma State from the college football playoff conversation. And I wouldn't be shocked if Cincinnati loses, but let's say Cincinnati wins. I think Cincinnati will probably win. So then you're looking at two-loss Alabama team. They're out of the mix. They're out of contention. And I'm looking at Georgia, I'm looking at Michigan, I'm looking at Cincinnati, and I'm looking at Notre Dame. And I think the Irish have a chance to sneak in.
That'd be awesome.
If Baylor beats Oklahoma State and the other two games go as we expect, this could be, you talk about a crazy week in South Bend, it could get a lot crazier this weekend.
All right, Oklahoma State in a squeaker over Baylor. Baylor's using a backup quarterback, and I think Baylor's got all their magic pixie dust gone. But in a squeaker. SEC, I'm going with Bama in a massive upset, and I'm talking like a 13-10, but like a thriller, a 13-10 thriller, just like the Iron Bowl was an unbelievable 10-3 with 38 seconds to go. I've never That's been possible. More engaged in a 10-3 college football game with 38 seconds to go. I think we're going to see the same thing, but I think Alabama's going to win this thing. And this is one is for David. This is my upset special. I don't want the points. I don't need the points. I'll take the points, but Iowa in the upset, Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines all puffy-chested and running their mouths about beating Ohio State for the first time in almost a decade. And now all of a sudden, they're the be-all, end-all. Iowa is going to hold on to the ball. They're going to run the ball. They're going to own the clock. And they're going to also win in a squeaker. So I've got Georgia, Alabama, Cincinnati, Notre Dame. And then we're going to have another Georgia-Alabama final.
Who's puffy-chested in Ann Arbor?
Oh, did you see the comments by they're running their mouths like the defensive coordinator for Michigan, he's running his mouth. The students on social media are running their fingers. And Harbaugh making comments about Day. Give me a break.
That was post-game. That was in the moment.
Act like you've been there before. Now, I will give Jim Harbaugh credit. Unbelievable gesture. He got a $500,000 bonus for winning that game, for getting to the Big Ten championship game, and he is putting that back into the pot for Michigan athletic coaches. So, as an example, the softball coach, the swimming coach. I don't even know if Michigan still has wrestling. I hope they do, but it might have been a victim to Title IX. The diving coach, he's putting that money back and having that redistributed.
Make him the athletic director. That's what all the coaches are saying.
So I think kudos to him and his wife for making that decision. But I like, say, here's the problem. And this is all because of Notre Dame. If Michigan wins, I don't see how Notre Dame kind of squeaks in unless Georgia absolutely throttles. Georgia would have to throttle Alabama. As Brando told us, the committee is doing by keeping Alabama third, they're doing everything in their power to get them into that game for obvious reasons.
But how,
nobody wants to watch Oklahoma State or Baylor.
How hard is it to see the scenario where Baylor beats Oklahoma State and Alabama loses? That opens the door for Notre Dame. Isn't that the easiest path?
Yeah, but I just don't see Baylor doing is my point. I just don't see Baylor winning.
I think it's more plausible to think Baylor could beat Oklahoma State than Michigan lose to Iowa.
Probably. Maybe the craziest thing you've ever said in the 5-5, if I can point it out, is you said that...
I don't know if we have enough time.
The students are running their fingers on Twitter. Like,
They don't run their mouth. I did that for
But I mean, social media. I can't believe the students are talking smack on social media. That's it.
No,
I'm after Michigan now. We got to get
them. The student athlete, the student, and the players, the Michigan football players were on their social media platforms acting all puffy-chested. Congratulations, guys. The seniors, you beat Ohio State once in 4 years. Good job.
One thing I know about Jim Harbaugh teams, they will be prepared Saturday night in Indy. They will be prepared. Iowa is in for a long night.
Yeah, I think you're wrong on that one, Dustin.
Probably.
You've been right on many things.
Watch the Bulls instead.
Now I gotta watch Michigan. 312-644-6767. We had our turn. It is yours now. What do you think? Were you disappointed that the Bulls won a game? How can you be disappointed? Or maybe the methodology. Which is it? What about the Andy Dalton start? Does that mean Andy Dalton's starting? The fact that Andy Dalton's starting? And what do you do with the backup quarterback position? And Wildcats, not a serious answer. The Bears' defense, they're kind of shorthanded. Who you think's going to win? Do you think they're going to pull it off anyway? And Carlos Correa talking to Javi. Is he going to get a good report? Is El Mago going to make the Cubs disappear as a suitor? What about those games? What do you think about the college football slate? And who's in the Final Four in your mind? It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 Score.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.